Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, it's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number on a Monday in New York City, and it's starting to feel a little bit like spring, Bart. It's feeling a little bit like spring. We still got a couple of weeks.
Oh, so you mean the rain is coming?
We are getting more rain. Yeah, we are getting more rain. If we haven't had enough. But you know what I mean? Like yesterday was a 60-plus degrees. Sun was out. Like you really felt it. And then today, man, walking around the city today, I saw a little bit of, did you have some perspiration on your forehead when you walked in?
I did. I had the backpack on that we all know, like 45 pounds.
Yeah.
Had the standard vest that all New Yorkers wear.
Like yes, we do.
New York, that's how you tell you from New York. New York probably sells, like, probably buys 45% of all vests in the history of, like, in America.
Well, the vest is the best thing to have. Because, the jacket is so restricting.
It's like, let my arms be free.
Yeah.
But my chest be, I don't, because you remember, like, no, like, old people, like, say, be careful, don't go out there, you're going to get walking pneumonia. Like, man, like, come on, man. Like, ain't nobody ever.
You're going to get a chest cold.
You get walking pneumonia and die. Like,
well, I don't know about you, die, but.
Well, walking pneumonia.
Yeah, you can get sick. But still, the vest is, to me, like, the most versatile, the most versatile thing you can wear to stay warm, because you can wear it any time of year.
But how does it look? As far as a fashion sense, it's hard to flex.
Depends on what you got.
Like, I feel like you got to put the hoodie on with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Put the hoodie on.
You got to pair it right.
You can't have, or you got to have an old school Paul Bunyan flannel shirt underneath.
Oh, I get it.
You know what
little
saying?
Buffalo plaid, like underneath it.
Yeah,
I got it.
You got to look like that polo spread. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
that rugby polo look.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of stuff happen over the weekend. I don't even know like where to start.
Oh, I know where to start. Last night.
Nah, see, you are so predictable.
Oh. Bing bong.
We got.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We got fat man. We got fat man running.
Yeah.
We got receivers. Yeah,
we
running.
Got weeks before you have to worry about the draft,
but,
my man.
But both teams need it. We got weeks before the Knicks are whole.
What are you talking?
And we can see Voltron come back together.
But last night was an improbable win. And last night
was it really?
Yes. You were missing four starters.
They were missing the most important one.
Oh, okay. You're missing four important players. They were missing one. Donovan Mitchell didn't play. And by the way, keep an eye on the Cavs, because Donovan Mitchell missing that game.
Yeah, that was surprising.
See, he missed the Pistons game with what they called the sore knee. And he's maybe they just figured give him a night off. When he didn't play last night, that said a lot.
And how important that game was with the standings. And these are two teams that's fighting for it.
And the fact that he's playing against his hometown team. Like, you would think he doesn't want to miss that game. So the fact that, so it makes you say, all right, whatever's going on with his knee is a real thing. And I would not, like, downplay this at all. They might miss him for a little bit of time here and watch the standings, how quickly things can change. They dropped to third now.
Yo,
so keep an eye on that. The Knicks held fourth with that win. That was a big win. It was a big performance. I have one question to ask before I get into the Jalen Brunson stuff. Just want to ask all of you that were complaining about Josh Hart's contract, are you still complaining? Do you now see the value of what this guy is?
He took Debo's
chain. He's $20 million. And
he tried to take Debo's chain?
Did you see that? Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, what chain? Oh, you got something.
Like
my grandmama gave me that chain.
The way he tells that story is so funny. He just said he saw it and he thought, ooh, that's nice. fine. But the night started out 47 seconds into the game. It's actually 35 seconds when the injury actually happened. Jalen Brunson going down, clutching his left knee, and then laying there. And what made it worse, because you know Jalen Brunson's not the type of guy that's just going to stay down and flop and flail. Like, this is a tough dude.
So the
fact that he stays down.
Yeah.
Makes you go, uh-oh, that's real. There's something going on there. Then when he got up and tried to take a step, and you saw him almost collapse.
Was that reminiscent of Aaron Rodgers?
Wasn't it, though?
Stand up. Like,
how many people texted me at that moment and said Aaron Rodgers? They went, Edwin Diaz, Aaron Rodgers, and now this.
We're cursed.
That's what you were getting, this feeling of, it's just not going to happen. Right? Oh, my God. A non-contact injury.
Yeah.
And then the way he was walking off, how he was purposely lifting his leg to walk.
Yeah.
It was so bizarre. And everybody was fearing the worst.
We're always used to it being, looking like it's hope, and then it getting the worst news.
The gut
later.
Punch.
Yeah.
The gut punch.
Yeah.
Like it's over.
I don't
just
know.
And just when you saw Julius Randle and OG Anunoby, yeah. Julius Randle was on the court before the game. These guys are on the trip. Why? It's a one-game road trip. Why do they need to be on this trip? Because this is part of the ramping up process, getting them involved in team meetings, the walkthroughs, because pretty soon they're going to be back, which gives you all this hope. Like, wait a minute, they have a chance to be whole again, and now you could really see what this team can be with a quarter. We're at the quarter pole right now, everybody. 21 games to go.
So
you have that before the game, and then you can't even get a minute in, and there's Brunson down clutching his knee, and you just feel like all hope is lost. But after the game, after this, again, the inspiring win that they had with the pieces that they were, again, four starters out, and they find a way to get a big road win, 36th win in the season, then Tom Thibodeau talks after the game, and you feel like, wait a minute, is it not as bad as we thought?
Knee contusion, so he had x-rays, the negative, so that's where it is. He bumped knees, that's what happened.
I mean, see how matter-of-fact he said that?
Yeah,
hey, bump knees.
That's the worst. That's the worst.
Knee contusion.
That's the worst, because that's when you bump knees, it sends a chill like up your hip. Like, you don't know like what, your whole leg goes numb when that happens. I tell you what, like,
can you imagine if this, all that was, is because he bumped knees and he has a contusion on his knee and it led to a nerve thing, and and that if you give it a day or two, like, you know, what's like the best case scenario is he's playing next week?
Yeah.
Right?
But like every game is so pivotal right now.
Oh my God.
So you worried about okay, the backups was able to, but now what happens? Now the team's prepared.
Well, they're playing the Hawks on Tuesday.
Let's take heart away, right? What do they do if they game plan for heart? All of a sudden, like, get off me.
How do you game plan for a guy that's just basically wind him up? Like, if there's a Bart Scott of the NBA, is Josh Hart not that? He never shuts up. Right? He's nonstop motor, never stops talking, tough as nails.
He might get 30 shots.
You know what I mean? But is the, if there was ever a Bart Scott of the NBA, wouldn't it be Josh Hart?
I'll take that compliment.
I'm dead serious, though. Do you see a lot of that?
He's a junkyard dog.
Yeah,
He's a fire starter.
Yeah. Not afraid to mix it up, talks trash. Irrational confidence, but that sidestep corner three in front of the Cavs bench.
Irrational confidence.
Are you serious? Yeah, well, nobody played with more irrational confidence than you. All right,
but that's
what we love about you. But a sidestep corner three—that's the shot. Of course it is.
How many times have you shot that shot?
Once, and it went in.
You lucky. You do that again, you better make it. Every time you shoot that shot, you better make it. You're going to come sit right next to me.
That's why I want to hear from anybody that still has a problem. If you have a problem with that contract, because I heard everybody complaining about it. I know early in the season he wasn't shooting the ball well, and everybody's like, we gave this guy $20 million. Do you see it now? Do you understand the value of what he brings? His third triple-double since January 29th.
He's a glue guy.
Yep.
He's a glue guy. Like, he's a guy that, okay, well, he's not a guy that you're going to say he's your superstar, but he's a guy that... he's the linchpin, right? He's willing to do the dirty work. He doesn't care how many points he scores. You know, if you need him to score, he can facilitate and score.
19 rebounds last night at 6'4".
Yeah, he do whatever you need him to do. Like,
yep.
He grimy. Like, he's our version of Draymond Green.
That's a good one.
You know what I'm saying?
He not the playmaker, but still. But he does whatever
needs
you need.
To be done.
That's it.
Every team needs one.
And how about also, I was talking to a friend of mine about this, and I'm wondering what you think. In the NBA, you know, you have your stars, right? And then what you want to do for your stars is you want to make them comfortable. So a lot of times you provide for them players that, like, they're, you know, you get their boys, right? Surround him with people
that he
can trust, that he knows lives up to the standard he does. So Josh Hart's value in his contract at $20 million, which, by the way, $20 million is closer to the mid-level exception now than it is to the max.
Exactly. Like,
so we think $20 million is like, it's the same number, and it's like...
These are numbers that, you know, when the next contracts come up...
Guys are making 50 and 60 in the league now.
Jalen Brunson with the 60 just changed the standard. Now that's a third of what he makes.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're saying, okay, well, that's going to be the going price for a guy that, you know, gives you 20, 18 rebounds, tough. You know, I mean, that's going to be the third, fourth star on the team is going to be that now.
And also, because he's technically a reserve player coming off the bench.
Yeah.
This is not a starter. He's starting now, playing 48 minutes a night basically now. But when they're whole, he won't.
Yeah.
When they're whole, he'll get down more to the low 30s and the high 20s.
He's going to be wrapped up, even jacked up on more. Oh, my God. He's going to come in. It's going to be so splashy because he knows he can empty the tank.
Yeah. So I also think there's a value, however, to a guy like him, and I think also DiVincenzo, because Brunson trusts them. They've known each other for years. They can hold each other accountable. They play hard. They're winners. And when you bring that into a locker room and that becomes the click, how many players start gravitating towards that
culture? You're
because you hold culture. Up that standard. And Hart is not afraid to let somebody know if they're not holding up their end of the bargain. You could tell he's that guy. He's the guy that will say the things in the locker room that nobody else wants to say. You know he's like that. And so I just think those players have a different value that goes beyond what you see on in the box score and every day. And then give him the credit for the fact that during the All-Star break, he himself admitted that he was garbage as a three-point shooter throughout the season. And instead of taking the week off like they normally do, he said, I actually got in the gym and just had to fix something with my jumper. And ever since then, he's shooting like 48, 50% from three. So he put the work in with the self-accountability.
Self-scouting.
How do you not love everything about guys like this? You love them on your team. You hate playing against them, but you love them on your team. And now let's take it back to more. This is Josh Hart. No, if you're worried about the Brunson injury, Josh Hart wasn't.
I don't know. You know, at first you want to make sure it's nothing serious. And you know, I'm not sure what tip is. I don't think it's too serious. So obviously that's just something that's pops into your mind, and then you just got to go out there and just hoop. And you can't play and thinking like, all right, we got to just keep this close. He's going to come back or whatever. You just got to go out there and just play with the hand that you're dealt. And I feel like we did a really good job with that.
I mean, you could hear him also sort of, and he was being careful with what he was saying because he wasn't sure how much he could reveal. But the players after the game, and as I said, this is what really caught my attention. Because Bart, like the Jet game, when Rodgers went down, they won the game and it was like a morgue.
Yeah.
Right? It was a morgue. They all knew something bad just happened.
Because you want to know why? Because when you went back there at halftime, he confirmed, like, yeah, this ain't good.
Right. And remember what he said to Garrett Wilson?
Yeah, I'm
sorry, kid.
See, but this is the thing. Like, with Brunson, there's certain players that when they say they good, you're like, all right, he good. If he say he good, he good.
Yeah.
He ain't no BSer, right?
Right.
Remember with the ankle, right?
Yeah.
We're like, man, his ankle. My ankle sprain. Is this 3-4 weeks?
Yeah.
He's out there 2 days later.
Right.
And certain guys, you're like, man, I'm good. Don't worry about it. It's all right. Like, and when he say, I'm all right, you believe him. So, like, they can speak with a level of confidence.
And again, they've known him since he's 18 years old. They've all known each other since they were kids. So they know when it's serious. DiVincenzo said this. I asked him if he was okay. This is at halftime.
Yeah.
I asked him if he was okay, and he said he'll be fine.
Yeah.
And that's everything to me. I don't worry about Jalen.
Yeah.
He's one of the toughest guys in the league. So whatever it is, he's going to bounce back. He's tough as nails. Tibbs was also asked because, you heard him just say, like, it's a knee, he bumped knees, knee contusion. Like, he sounded so matter-of-fact about it. And so Tibbs was asked, well, you play Tuesday. Could he play Tuesday? And Tibbs said, we'll find out tomorrow. And he said, I guess. Like, he didn't say no.
He didn't go,
well, we have that more test. Like, he wasn't being careful. He was like, I guess, but, we'll know more tomorrow. Which is crazy to me.
It's this Instagram or Black Twitter.
Yeah,
Instagram that sums this up the most. Like, I can imagine what his dad said.
All right,
like when it's like something when you like your kid like say tired or something like that. Like, oh, don't feel like going to jail. Go back to like look.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Well, like, Rick did go to the back.
I wish we had the drop. Yeah, Rick going, man. Like, man.
We noticed that Rick left the bench, went in the back,
eventually
came back, obviously, for the game. He's a coach.
Yeah.
But the fact that we saw Rick go to the back, we were wondering the same thing. Like, I wonder either that moment is they're both in tears that the season's over. Because if Jalen said, I heard something pop, then that's bad.
Like, bro,
they took an X-ray, which doesn't show everything. They did the stabilizer test that they do on the knee right away, and they see if there's any looseness, and clearly he passed that.
Mm-hmm.
So all the tests were negative, according to Tom Thibodeau, and they called it a knee contusion.
Yeah.
That he banged knees.
Like, yo.
Crazy.
Dad went back to like, bro, We trying to get this Supermax. We ain't got time for no setbacks, man. If it is her, suck it up. If it's tore, heal right now.
Right.
He went down. He went back.
Get Miyagi.
Yeah, he went there to Mr. Miyagi hand. Hey, do that thing, Mr. Miyagi. Got to give you some of my cheek.
800-919-3776. We'll get to the calls here momentarily, but just to let you know, like, how important this was. So the Knicks, they get the 36th win of the season. That keeps them in fourth place. The Sixers won in Dallas. Again, no Embiid.
I know.
But they win it. They win in Dallas.
They win a collision course, too.
An impressive win. And the Sixers thought maybe they could move into fourth place.
Yeah.
They did not because the Knicks won. So the Knicks hold them off, still a half game up on Philly. They play them twice next week, by the way, a home series. Both games are at the Garden, Sunday and Tuesday next week. Yeah. Those are huge games now, if you think about it. They've already – remember – they have played the Sixers twice at Philly and smoked them both times in Philly.
Sixers just scared the hell out of me.
Why?
I mean, the Celtics just scared the hell out of me.
Well, let's get to that in a minute. But Orlando won last night also. Orlando beat your Detroit Pistons. And so they stay a game back of the Knicks in the loss column again because the Knicks were able to hold on and win. Miami is right there too. They're basically a game and a half back of the Knicks in seventh. The Pacers lost to Wemby last night in San Antonio. So dropping back. They sit in eighth, but that's a little further apart. The Knicks feel comfortably 3.5 games ahead of them, which is good.
Wemby's doing our dirty work.
The Knicks play in San Antonio in a couple of weeks.
Wemby's been sniping some teams by himself. I forgot who they beat the other day.
Thunder.
Too. Oh, yeah, the Thunder, yeah.
His fourth quarter against the last Thursday, that game.
God help us when he gets some help and they get – they got money to spend.
I think – I changed my thinking, and on Friday I said I think he's going to be the face of the league, and it's not going to be long from now. San Antonio has a history of building champions. They've done it before. I think they can do it again.
I wonder, because of Pop's age, if they – be more aggressive.
Accelerate.
Because it is hard to get people to come out there. He has a horrible team.
Oh, they'll have to trade. They'll trade. They'll have to trade. First and foremost, they got to get a guard, a great guard. And you know what some people think? Trae Young.
Yeah.
That if Trae Young just kind of like is tired of losing in Atlanta and it's just they're not going anywhere.
Them lemon pepper wings is hard to pass up.
Get him.
Quality of life out there.
But remember where he's from, though.
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you send him to San Antonio.
Yeah.
And you pair him up with that dude. Yeah. Maybe that's something special.
Talk about that pick and roll that he had with Capella a couple years ago against the Knicks.
Oh,
man.
My God.
he don't even jump.
No.
He grabbed
it. It's so sad.
Imagine trying to jump to block that.
He
said he wanted to be on the dunk contest. It might be the first time we see somebody take off, not from the three-point line, but right inside the three-point line. and it looks so ugly. You know what I'm saying?
It looks so weird.
Yeah, it's just like, ugh.
He looked like a praying mantis.
Because remember when Brent Berry dunked in the warm-up from the free throw line?
Yeah.
Michael, because it had the flare, his feet was back, and it looked like he was flying.
And he floated,
Like, Brent Berry was so quick, he was like,
just Air France.
Like, what?
What would Wemby have to do to really impress you, to make you go, I don't think another human can do that dunk? What would it be?
I want him to do everything that everybody else do, but I want him to do it on the Dwight Howard rim. Remember Dwight Howard?
He had the 12 foot?
I want him on a 12 and a half foot. That way we can see how far his vertical is.
That's a great point.
I want to see that. Because
raise it up.
Yes.
And then do like just not
regular
basic dunks.
Yeah.
But still it's pretty spectacular. But it'll look more spectacular because of how tall he is and how high the rim is.
Exactly.
15 feet.
Exactly.
Who you want to impress me?
Yeah. It's like watching Manute Bol or somebody like just George Mureson.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, I dunked on you. That's like that. If anybody feels like they're playing on a Jordan Jammer, like, it has to be him. Remember how we just lowered the rim to like 8 feet, 7 feet, and we just jammed on each other?
At St. Anthony's, when I went to high school at St. Anthony's, before they built this beautiful, gigantic student athletic center, which is just amazing, on that same area used to just be basketball courts.
It's called the Hines Center?
No.
Did you set it
up? No, I did not write a big enough check. Oh. That's all right. We're working on something else. But
the Hines seat.
Imagine that. Yeah, the seat.
They gave one seat with a nameplate on it.
It's fitting because that's where I spent most of my time anywhere, sitting down. But there was courts outside, and we'd go out and play, penny loafers and all, we'd play it out there.
Yeah.
But there was one rim that for whatever reason it might have been nine or eight and change.
Yeah.
No, it was just for some reason short.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we would just put on shows, just crazy dunks.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you'd always say to yourself, I wish the rim was just like, if this was the height of the rim.
Right, this is what it feels like.
To so
be,
much fun.
This is what it's like to feel, be 6'10".
Like we would play one-on-ones and you weren't allowed, if you had a layup, it didn't count.
You had to dunk.
You could do a jump shot. Yeah. But if you were close enough, you had to dunk it or it didn't count. Like, it's nuts.
Because kind of how to, so much to be how Giannis feels. Because Giannis dunk easy, too.
I don't even try.
It's like, yeah.
But for Wemby, though, he literally doesn't try.
Yes.
Like, he probably don't have to jump.
He might be the first person to dunk, like, from inside the little circle. Like, as soon as you get inside the three-point line, be in between the circle and between the free throw line, he probably can take off from half there, yeah.
You think about it, Giannis can go full court with two dribbles. Because his strides are so long.
Yeah.
And his arms are so long that he takes the next last two steps and he's already there. Wembanyama, you think, might only need one dribble. From half court to the rim, one dribble could probably do it. And a dunk.
Probably from half court, one step is probably at the three-point line. The yeah. second step is going to be past the free throw line.
Yeah.
So he got to kind of take off, like, outside of, like, his 1-2 jump.
Yeah.
Has to be, like, right before the half court line. Oof.
So
that probably looks so ugly too, just like
ugh. Yeah, but he's finishing the season, like, really he's playing.
He probably looks like Jamiroquai, like, you know how he was on, like, because don't look like it's no air underneath his feet.
Right. But
virtual insanity.
But if you look at what the Celtics did to the Warriors on Sunday, and the Warriors might be road weary.
Yeah, that was the last of a long
44 points in the first quarter.
Yeah,
they were up by 48 at the half or something like that, right? Yeah. They had a huge halftime lead. They won by this is the third time they've won by 50 this year. Third time in one season.
It's gonna make if
they're a machine.
It's gonna make if they lose so disheartening.
Who's beating them? See, again, this is why for Knicks fans, you want to dream. Don't dream. This year is about dreaming of making a run and making a push and making like a. Can you get to the Eastern Conference Finals? Can you play the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals? And if you do, can you make it competitive enough to think, we're close?
It's Denver because they match up. Because I don't care if you
and put Denver's playing great
if,
right now.
If you put Porzingis, mm-hmm. if you put Porzingis on Jokic, he's gonna get in foul trouble. So now all that space that you get in rim protection is gone instantly. Mm-hmm. And Al Horford's too little, so then he gets in foul trouble.
Yeah.
And then what are you gonna do? Right, you can't stop Jokic.
Well, the Murray and Brown, that's a good matchup.
But they have Porter. Porter's
and Michael
the key
Porter can
because,
shoot.
And his height.
Aaron Gordon.
6'10".
Yeah, I like that. So I like that team.
And they can match up. Mm-hmm. Like, so they can match up.
They've got the experience of winning already in their pocket where the Celtics have the doubt because they've gotten there and they've failed. Yeah. The Clippers, what about them? How about the L.A. Clippers, who are also playing great basketball? Nobody wants to talk about them.
Well, they got the wings. They got good wings.
Yep. Kawhi can defend. Paul George can defend. Russell Westbrook's out, broke his hand, but he should be back in a month.
Yeah.
And plenty of time for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Another guy that can get after it. I think Zubac is a great, but they got a bunch of bigs, too. Yeah. Tice,
the problem
big,
is,
tough, physical bigs.
You would think that Zubac would be out of his element a little bit because Porzingis can pull him out farther from the basket, and he's comfortable being with the three-point shot.
Right.
So you worry about that. But do they still have Batum?
Yeah. No.
Who's their second big man?
Batum's down with the Sixers.
They have Daniel Tice. Tice.
And I think they have a Plumlee still.
Yeah,
and so
Plumlee.
A whole bunch
like
of guys just throw at them and just beat the crap out of them.
You beat the hell out of Porzingis.
I think people don't want to talk about the Clippers. I think the Clippers are that team you don't want to – like, the further they go in the playoffs, the tougher – their bench is good. They got a great coach.
They're so deep.
Yep.
But that's what you worry about.
Minnesota, Rudy Gobert.
Well, they got the –
Cat.
I don't know if they're ready yet.
No,
I don't know if they have the clutch players. Like they're not deep enough to me at the guard, the one and the two, you know, to deal with Jalen and Tatum. You know what I mean? Tatum.
They got a great wing defender though. They are a very good team. The Timberwolves. They're just a little mercurial. Some nights you're like, what?
Yeah.
You know, like that's the only issue with them. I think is you can't trust them.
Last year, Anthony Edwards, you know, the moment got to him. He was trying to do too much last year.
Mm-hmm.
A budding star. I think, you know, I don't know if they can go through the gauntlet.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if they can go through the gauntlet, but
if you're looking at the East then, all right, so who can beat them? You're saying you're giving me Western Conference teams. The Celtics just look indomitable. They look like nobody's going to beat them in the East, but if you're looking at the East, who has a shot?
You have to show love for Milwaukee.
What is it about Milwaukee that you like?
Giannis. And his ability to take over and put a team on his back, he can go for 50.
They won like five in a row now. Like they're starting to figure it out.
He can go for 50 and snap off at any time and be the best player on the court at any time. And when he's going to the hole, anybody can get in foul trouble. When he's aggressive that, and like he now he's got the little Euro set where you can't just stand in front of him.
It's just and free take throws the charge. For him is always the big issue.
Yeah.
And, I just worry about the fact that Dame can't guard anybody. Right. And in the playoffs, he'll get exposed, as he has been in the past. Chris Middleton's not who he used to be. Brook Lopez is not who he used to be. But they don't have what they used to be.
But Middleton doesn't have to be what he normally is.
Okay.
He just needs to harness it for one series. Right? That's the one series.
Who would you rather play in the second round? Bucks or the Celtics?
I want to try and get the Celtics while they're cold.
You want to get them early?
That's your best chance, in my opinion.
Interesting.
I want to catch them with all the pressures on them. I don't want to get them when they go through a tough series and figure it out and show and get the grit. They're like, all right, now let's settle down.
I was thinking this. The fourth seed, right, for the Knicks?
Yeah.
Because they're starting to slip away from having a shot at the third seed, which the third would get you out of the bracket with the Celtics, right? I mean, technically, you know, are they three games back? You know, they still could catch the Cavs. Four back in the loss column. And remember, they have the season series, so the tiebreaker's already out of the way. But, you know, that you'd have to go on a bit of a run here to catch the Cavs for fourth place. But if you finish fourth, that definitely means, like, okay, let's say you win your first-round matchup, which right now would be the Sixers. It could be Orlando. It could be Miami. Yeah. You don't know who is going to be in the fifth seed, right? Is that better, or is it better to have dropped to, like, the seventh or sixth seed and then not see the Celtics? Like, tell yourself, well, I think you can beat Milwaukee or Cleveland or whomever in the first round, and I don't have to see Boston until the conference finals.
Listen, the pressure is going to be on Boston because it's always going to be on Boston because they're going to be the team that's supposed to.
Oh, they're going
to
be judged by what they do in the postseason.
Right,
yeah.
But
they're in Yankee level now where the regular season.
It's like championship or bust.
Yes.
Right? And when is this regime and this young core?
Well, this is the best roster they've had.
Right. When is this young roster? When is this young core going to win?
Something? Tatum and Brown. Right.
Right. So for me, I'd rather get them early. Give me to them early before they get warmed up and get their rotations right and their playoff rotations right. I'd rather catch them cold. Right. Get them early.
I'd rather catch them a little banged up because they haven't really been beat up this year. They've gotten they shoot threes. They're playing very free.
I feel like with your depth,
they're remarkably healthy. They haven't missed a lot of time.
I feel like with your depth, you can give them the physical ass kicking that they need to make them feel like if you can steal a couple.
I just don't want to soften them up for somebody else, right? Yeah. Like you play them in the second round, you beat them up a little bit, but they still are better than you. And then they go to the conference finals, and then somebody else gets them a little more beat up.
Because the playoffs is a totally different thing.
Oh yeah,
right. So pressure bust pipes, right? We saw in the NFL playoffs, we saw guys like struggle early on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the like Cleveland and mm-hmm. like teams that we expected to be good, Dallas,
Buffalo,
Buffalo. You see them struggle early, so I'd rather get them before because whatever their rotations are now, it won't be the same. It's going to be tightened up for the playoffs.
Oh, they'll play seven, right?
Right, right. So I'd rather get them while they're trying to figure that out and like be a little off a little bit while they're dealing with the pressure and the new rotation and all that type of stuff.
Mm.
I'd rather get them early.
All right, 800-919-3776
Worked
is
for Miami
the number.
Last year.
And you're right about that. And
the Bucks like, oh, well, we weren't ready for that type of intensity.
Yeah, they were already down. They were down quickly in that series
because game plan matters.
They weren't ready.
And Mazzulla doesn't really like. He's not a great X and O's adjustment.
No.
Like during the game, maybe after the game, he could figure something out. So I'd rather jump on him early before he figures stuff out.
That's a great point. That part is also where you want to have the advantage and you think you might be
in
able
coaching,
to.
That's the only advantage you got.
Maybe it is. All right, so we'll get to the calls. We started off with NBA. We got plenty to get to, of course, with the NFL as the combine over the weekend. There was a lot of stories there, and there's a big story already when it comes to anybody looking for wide receivers. The market is getting thinner and thinner when it comes to free agency, which begins late. Is it later this week? When does it begin? Next week?
Next week,
I think. 11th, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're getting closer.
Thursday is the 7th.
Closer to the business aspect of it. So lots of calls to get to. We're just getting started. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Plenty of questions for the Giants this offseason, including will Saquon Barkley be back in the backfield next year? Earlier this morning on DPH and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave wondered where Saquon will end up.
Is there a team that says, you know what, let's give him 3 for 34? First
yeah, I
few
could
years
see,
guaranteed 3 for 34.
Yeah, I could see a team like Houston doing that.
Right. Now, does he return to the Giants and say 3 for 34, 2 guaranteed at 22? I want to see what the Giants match it. What do the Giants do?
They'll say no.
Right. And then he moves on.
Yeah. But that would be kind of the ideal situation for him, especially if he's already kind of behind the scenes in touch with C.J. Stroud, is that when push comes to shove, the kind of season C.J. Stroud had is he goes to management and says, hey, let's get this done. I mean, Saquon Barkley in this offense with me.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Mick Jagger. That's Mick Jagger, right?
No.
No, who's the guy with the big
Steven list? Tyler.
Oh, yeah, Steven Tyler. I don't know why I said Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger has the big tongue.
Okay, yeah.
Steven Tyler has the big lips.
Right, him.
Oh, Mick Jagger has big lips also.
He has big lips?
Yeah.
Is he known for big lips?
Of his kiss.
Him.
Oh, that's right. I'm thinking of Gene Simmons.
Yeah,
right.
Him and right.
Mick Jagger has, like, what was,
who got the daughter? Who got the daughter from Armageddon?
Well, that's Steven Tyler.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful
the,
girl.
Yeah, he got the big lips.
Yeah.
Him and Julia Roberts, man. The only ones that got, they got African-American lips, man.
Only ones? I mean, naturally.
Because, yeah.
Because there are a lot of
white women now. I'm talking about, ridiculous. Like, I can't say you could put a bit blackface. You'd be like, hold up, Keisha?
I wouldn't do that.
No, listen,
I love Julia Roberts, by the way.
Them big
one of my
lips.
Favorites.
They were always ashy, though.
I didn't notice that.
Like, if you look at any movies she had, they big and they juicy,
mm-hmm.
but they ashy. Like, mine.
In Pretty Woman, they are not ashy.
Yeah, they are.
No, not in Pretty Woman.
Look at them.
I've watched that movie many times.
Look at them.
I love that movie.
What the hell going on Braylon Edwards?
What happened?
Stopped attack at YMCA.
In Michigan.
Yeah, man, you know how many people he didn't attack? remember he got kicked out of Cleveland because
I remember that.
He beat up LeBron's boy at Ponderosa.
Yeah, I remember that.
His boy was like 5'2".
I remember that story. which one?
But Brick, people used to put.
Who was it that he got into? By the way, it wasn't Rich. Was it Mav?
It was somebody, because that was like he was him.
Oh, we got to look back now.
He was him in Cleveland before.
I remember. No, I know that story. I remember it. I remember it distinctly.
LeBron got him up out of there.
Yeah,
he traded his ass right to us. Like, hey, but like
this guy's got to go.
First of all, Braylon Edwards looked like a younger Ed Lover, right? He looks just like Ed Lover. I don't know if anybody ever
Dr. Dre Ed Lover.
Yeah, yeah,
Ed Lover.
Yeah. He looks like
right?
Ed Lover. Yeah,
from Who's the Man?
Yeah, yep. Yeah. He looks like Ed Lover, but people used to always mess with him because they used to try to say he was gay. And then, yeah,
really,
that was like the whole underline. So people used to try him. They also forgot he's from the east side of Detroit. So when he put them hands on him, and listen, he's strong as hell. Like, when I say strong as hell, Braylon might be one of the strongest receivers, one of the strongest players I've ever seen.
Like, man strength.
Yeah. He used to wrestle with Spice Adams, who was a D lineman, because we all grew up together.
Right.
So they used to wrestle at the Jerome Bennett's camp.
So, do you want to hear the story? Because this is actually a very interesting story.
Yeah, it's funny.
So Braylon Edwards.
Somebody talking stuff about
it. All right,
so. You about that smoke.
I walk into a locker room after work. Basically, I hear about four rows behind me. Now, he's at a YMCA in Michigan.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, I hear about four rows behind me arguing about music and how it was being played too loud. So I'm not paying attention. I'm just minding my business. The noise escalates. Then you can hear some pushing and shoving. So you know what fighting sounds like. But once I hear a thud, that's when I got up and turned around. And I see the guy, for what I was thinking, was reaching for a phone underneath the victim, grabs the back of the victim's head by the hair. He was about to slam it down on the counter. Now, let me explain to you that the young man grabbing the hair was 25 years old. The hair, the man who was thud and on the ground, 80 years old.
Oh, hell no. See, Braylon, you shouldn't have broke it up. You should have gave him an example of an ass whooping, what an ass whooping for a real grown man. Like, you knocked him down.
They basically said that he saved this man's life. He said, I didn't know it was that serious. I mean, the victim probably had a serious concussion by nature, but it wasn't until I talked to the detectives. They told me if I didn't step in at the end of the day, that's what you do.
Yo.
Imagine being 25 and just trying to beat up an old man just because he told you your music's too loud. And we all know it wasn't the 80-year-old man who was playing the music too loud. Let's be honest.
And it's the YMCA, bro.
That's the other
like
thing.
So it's nothing but old people there. If you want to go do that, you got to go like to Joe Dumars Basketball City.
Where
can do hood rat stuff.
Why are you playing your music so loud? Like, what?
I mean, it's the YMCA, so that's for senior citizens that go there for free.
The Farmington Hills. You know where that is?
Oh, that's money.
Oh, it is?
What?
Yeah,
that's okay. Money. That's like Bloomfield Hills, Farmington Hills. That's like CEO Michigan $5 million houses.
The 25-year-old initially fled on foot, but he was caught and arrested.
Hold up. First of all, Braylon, you broke it up. You ain't working out no more, Braylon? You're a receiver. You couldn't hawk that dude down?
Well, I think he was probably more concerned about the 80-year-old man and making sure he was okay.
Isn't
your first instinct to make sure whoever is injured is okay, and you tell the other dude, like, get the hell out of here?
I would have bellied backed his ass if I seen somebody hit an 80-year-old man. You know, Braylon bought that smoke, too, so, you know, he probably didn't want to have to go get them boys from the hood and come back if old boy was.
How about that story, though? That's something.
Yeah. That's crazy.
You see this stuff a lot because there's always going to be the young guy or group of young guys who just feel like the whole world needs to hear my music.
But them kids.
And then there's the old guy that just, I ain't taking this. Like, I don't need this noise. Will you just turn that down?
I mean,
and it's and then they talk crap to you because they think you're just frail old man who can't do anything about it.
But here's the thing. When you in the YMCA, you don't bring speakers. You got to have headphones.
That's your phone. You know, you've never been on a subway car where some guy just decides I'm going to play my music on my phone, on the speaker on my phone?
No.
Because I just don't care and I want everybody to hear it?
One, I don't take the subway. So I've only been on subway one time.
Okay.
That's just an indication where we're at. And like Detroit, like these young kids, and I hate to sound like the old man, they just don't have no respect. Like it used to be a time when I was growing up. And listen, I grew up during some of the most violent times in Detroit or in Michigan, like during the 80s and 90s, during the gang and crack epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always a code that you don't mess with women and you don't mess with elderly.
Right.
And now that line, these young kids don't understand that line. And, you know, I wish Braylon, listen, that was heroic what he did. But the only
bigger story would have been if he beat the kid up.
Yeah,
that would have been a bigger story.
I know. And
that story doesn't get out now. Maybe it's Braylon Edwards is arrested for assault.
Yeah, Braylon's had way too many run-ins with the law, right? And, you know, his mom told him to come back home.
Just take care of the guy.
Because he's in Miami. But, man, like, we can't keep letting these people get off the hook.
Why is Jake from State Farm at Caitlin Clark's game?
Because she probably gonna start doing commercials.
She is. Remember, she's in the commercial. Remember, it says,
yeah,
so shoot. And she's like, shoot, where's the rim?
Right. So she
even this old
star.
Pacer.
Right, so she.
Anybody call for an old Pacer?
So she the next star. But back to my point before we move on.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Did I just do a Bart?
Yeah. It's all good. Like, until we start correcting some of this behavior and people hearing what's happened to people, like, until people start realizing that bystanders aren't just standing around.
That there are consequences to your actions.
Yes,
and
yes.
You should be held accountable for said actions.
Like the dude that sat on the subway and choked out a man to death. Like, how can you sit there and watch a man have somebody in a rear naked choke?
Hang on a second. Do you know the details of that story? Because
the guy was mentally ill.
No.
No, I'm talking about the...
He turned out to be mentally ill, but he was being belligerent towards people.
I know.
And this man who served in the military was tired of it and wanted to subdue him.
Yes.
And he had the training to do but, unfortunately it went too far.
Bro, we've all been to the point. We know how to...
So now he's supposed to just do nothing instead of protecting other people that were being attacked by this guy.
No. We know how to put somebody to sleep. And we've all done this as a little kid, put people in $1 million dream, put our cousin to sleep, he chip his tooth or something like that. But you don't keep going. That's the thing. He took it too far. You choke him out and you can
restrain. I don't know about that. If you weren't there, you don't know all of the circumstances to what was happening, because we do know in these moments that sometimes someone that you're trying to calm down only gets worse.
Yeah, but you could
And then what are you supposed to do now?
It's a window between death and unconsciousness.
I'm aware.
And like anybody that's ever put somebody in a chokehold,
I don't think he intended to do that. I think he was intending to try to subdue the person until authorities could come and take him away.
Yeah, but you have to take it off.
If you let go of him, then you know what happens.
He go to sleep.
He wasn't asleep.
Yeah, he was dead.
I'm never going to judge that one, because you can't.
It's a window.
You don't know what situation was in that moment.
I'm saying it's a window between death and. But what I'm saying is, let me go back to what I was saying. We got to start kicking some of these young kids' ass. And we can't just keep watching it, because until people hear the stories of somebody messing with an old man, like, hey, you hear about that old man that dude was messing with, and then somebody kicked his ass?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think
over music. Playing your music too loud.
Like, this dude punched an 80-year-old man, he got his ass kicked. Until we start doing that, or we see people in the streets and somebody punch, like, look at what happened, you know, during the Kansas City thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a pedestrian tackled that person.
Yep.
So they weren't able to get away, and they weren't able to hurt somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it's a fine line between putting your life in danger. I understand that, but at YMCA sometimes we got to start policing each other and making sure that we can come together. We see wrong at that.
But just like you pointed out, sometimes when you get involved, you end up getting implicated, and you're like, "All I was trying to do was help."
Yeah,
you know, and so that's the danger of all this stuff.
One day.
Interesting times, man.
It's like Uncle Ben.
But I give Braylon credit for, instead of saying that's none of my business, he heard something. He knew exactly what it was, and he went over to help the situation. And an 80-year-old man is still alive because of it.
It's like Uncle Ben, right? Spider-Man let people go, and then eventually it comes back to you.
800-919-3776. We got calls to get to. We will get to them next day with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21+ and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's get to some calls, though, here, Bart, right? We've been doing a lot of talking, not enough listening. So Scott is in Manhattan. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, yo, I I thought you guys was doing a podcast right then, man. It was going out.
Every now and then, you know, we like to let loose. It's all right. Good. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, but, you know, listen, being a Knicks fan, after what I saw last night, and Han, you said this last week or before, you said that one thing about these guys, you never see them quit. Regardless to what they're playing with or how they're playing, the lineup that they have, they're always going at it. And you just said something earlier, too, Bart, about Hart being our Draymond, 100%. You know, because, I mean, I was one of those guys, I have to admit, as you said that, I was like, oh, come on, this guy, he can't hit a jumper. You know, he's a gritty guy. But then, but hats off to him. You know, I was wrong. You know, so, listen, I mean, I just feel good we're going in the right direction. I mean, I wish we had our whole crew back because I think we would have got the third spot. But at this point, as long as we're going in the right direction, like I said, you know, the Boston is the creme de la creme in the East. But right now, you know, saying we're heading in the right direction, I feel good about the team.
That's really what it is right now, Scott, is, you know, like, I think so many fans are anxious to see it. And it's like you got a taste of it in January. And then, of course, your feeling is, oh, but, you know, they're playing great now. But it's more important to play this way in May. So now that they're going through the injuries and stuff, you almost got to ask yourself, like, can you wait for it? Like this whole notion that, you know, like you want to see it so bad now, but I think I'd rather see it in April and May. So that's the patience part of it. Get healthy, get right. And January showed you what it could look like when they are healthy and when they get it right. So that part's important. Tessa in West Calder. Hey, Tess.
Hey, guys. Wait, okay. All right.
We got you.
My phone was acting crazy. Anyway, I just wanted to make a comment really quick about LeBron. But first, I just want to say one more time. I'm not going to bring it up again. But thank you guys so much. Bart, thank you so much again for just taking the time out. I just feel so grateful and so blessed. It was amazing Thursday. I appreciate you so much. Appreciate Alan. Appreciate ESPN. I just really appreciate you guys. It really, really made my day. It was really, really awesome. And you guys are the best. I just wanted to say that one more time. But
meanwhile,
this weekend,
LeBron James.
Of course. This weekend was just all about 40s. I bought 40 scratch-offs. You know what I mean? I like did 40 push-ups, 40 sit-ups. I did everything 40 because this man made 40,000 points. And
everything
was 40.
Did you even crack one of those?
I don't drink alcohol. Bart know that. But I should have bought a 40-ounce. But it's 40, like 40 I agree with Kendrick.
But
let's get the statue going. That's all I'm saying. Let's get the statue going for this man. I agree with Kendrick Perkins what he said, because what he's doing, It's not even people in the 10,000 club. They just did his, it was 40,000, I think 11,000 and 10,000. Yeah. Like, that's his stats. Like, nobody's even in 10, 10, 10. Like, this is insane what this man is doing. I don't understand the hate. Even as a person, I don't understand the hate. But I don't understand the hate as of what he's doing.
Yeah.
Forget the GOAT talk and all of that, but what he's doing, let's be honest, guys. They said somebody would have to play 20 years, 20 seasons straight and play, I think, and score like 24.6 points for 20 seasons to even try to surmount what he's doing. Like, can we just give him some credit?
Tessa,
I just want to ask you a question before you make a comment about that. Listen, I'm real high up on Michael Penix Jr. I heard the Giants was talking about him a little bit, but listen, if he stay healthy,
hands.
Do you think it's a chance? Like, the way he was throwing that ball, guys, It was, like, amazing.
I don't know.
So I want to know what you guys think.
I don't know how the Giants don't use one of their second-round draft picks or try and move up to get this guy. Like, the ball.
That
like,
championship game really concerned me.
Yeah, I understand that.
I know it did, Mike, but Alan, come on.
But he was going against the best player.
Dude was beat up, yes. And they were throwing looks at him that he could not. He could not process it fast enough.
But listen, they
were beating him up.
But the game before that, Allen, they was throwing a lot of looks, and he was really balling.
I think him being beat up was concerning.
I think he was more focused on his health than you're right. Some of the looks they were throwing at him.
Texas has a horrible defense, and so that was going to be a shootout.
I don't even know why they was there. Remember, that was a big argument about them even being there.
And Michigan has like a pro defense. Remember, McDonald was there the year before, and what he did when he went to the Ravens. So they were throwing looks that nobody sees unless you play Michigan, because Michigan has that. Like, Michigan holds their looks. They rotate post-snap, pre-snap. It looks like they have organized, like, synchronized movements depending on what defense they're in. Like, nobody sees that. No, that Michigan defense is as complex as it gets, and it would give anybody problems. But that doesn't mean, in my opinion, that when he gets to the pros, he can't adjust to that. Because that was a one-on-one. Like, Michigan was the national champions for a reason. And they were throwing blitzes and stuff that his offensive line, which had the award for the best offensive line in the league, couldn't handle. Mm-hmm. And they were getting free runners. And those free runners was getting world-class shots. So anybody, you know, like that's any quarterback if you get hit like that, you're going to start struggling and stuff like that.
Okay.
The way that ball jumped off his hand, it looks totally different from anybody else.
And 100%. And I'm like, if he please be there at 6?
No. He's gonna be. I think he's gonna be like you got a chance getting him in the 30s. Like it's too many great receivers out there. It's too many people that need edge rushers. It's too many people that need these offensive linemen that put on the
show. If you got Neighbors at 6 and then were able to get Penix in with one of your seconds,
yes,
that's not bad.
Do Worthy stock go up though, guys? Like, cause his speed is out of control. Like, congratulations to him for being the fastest 40. But do his stock go up a little bit?
No. Tessa, let's look at all the people that John Ross. Let's look at all the fastest people outside of Chris Johnson. Like all the ones that faster. How many of them were stars in the league?
No, you're right.
What I'm saying? So, like if football was all about speed, then most of the track guys would be there. You know, I forgot the track guy that's always been in the league that goes all the way around, that plays in the Olympics, comes back, still can't do anything. Like
I forgot his name, but it's something like with an M.
M. So but to your other thing about LeBron, right, and why the hate is so big on LeBron, is because, like most things, we won't miss him until he's gone.
Right.
Right? So,
that's
like,
true.
People are going to hate because at the end of the day, He's an opponent. But then when he retires, he belongs to everybody when he retires, because then you can appreciate his greatness. So everybody's going to throw salt on the wound. Not everybody was there for Jordan, right, and appreciating Jordan's greatness. You still had the Jordan haters. You still had the Lew Alcindor haters. You had the Kobe haters out there, right, talking about he was a bad teammate, didn't pass the ball and all that type of stuff. And then when he passed, look at all the love he gets. So, like, until LeBron is no longer an opponent, he's going to get that type of hate when it comes to the territory. We're going to have to, when he's done, respect what he's done for the game, both elevating it from a business standpoint, raising the bar in all aspects, and also being able to play in longevity, right? Because a lot of players that have splashes of greatness like LeBron has, but very few has had the consistency, right? Like when he came in, he jumped up, right? The stock just jumped up 200%, and it stayed there. And maybe it's not where it was a year or two ago, but it still has only dipped like maybe 5 to 10%, which is still higher than anybody that we've ever seen at this age. And it's going to be very few that has the ability to be able to do that, that can average those type of points. Maybe a guy like Anthony Edwards, if he stays healthy, but that's a big if. When you're talking about 20 years and how you stay motivated to win and how you stay motivated to keep doing those things. But records are made to be broken, and eventually there'll be somebody that can do it. Maybe a guy like Luka, but with his bad body, who knows if he can stay healthy long enough, right? So
we're witnessing greatness. There's no doubt about that. It's great to see. It'll be one of those numbers when you say 40,000 points. You could put that now up there with the records that you could say probably will never be broken.
Right.
Because, again, not a record of an individual 1 year great success. This is the longevity of a 20-year career, and those are the ones that are just improbable in today's sports. All right, 800-919-3776. We'll continue with your calls, and you know, let's go take a look at the weekend that was at the combine and the rumors that have come out of it, and you know how things will play out for the Jets and the Giants going forward. A lot more to get to. We have your calls as well. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, it seemed like Mike Evans was about to hit free agency, but then we get the news earlier today that he re-signs with Tampa. 2 years, $52 million. And earlier this morning on DPH and Rothenberg, the guys reacted to Evans now being off the table, and now the Jets having to look elsewhere for a second wide receiver.
It's not what you want, but I mean, luckily for us, this draft is flush with really good wide receivers, really good offensive linemen. And then when you look at, I mean, what could potentially be available, I think the name that you keep hearing a lot is Calvin Ridley.
Right.
I don't know if I want to do that.
I don't know that you want to do that either.
Tyler Boyd's available. Michael Pittman Jr. I wouldn't mind.
There's no way they're going to let him leave. There is no chance that they're going to let him leave Indianapolis. He's what, a 25-year-old receiver who's really
26.
Good? 26. Okay, so this, I mean, come on. You don't let those guys walk away.
And that's brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.